Much thank you, Mike, and team for leading us into the throne room so we can praise and worship our Father. Hallelujah. Well, let's just dive right in here. It's no secret if you've been in this church for any period of time, and if you've peeked into my office, just a glimpse will let you know that I am a huge Superman fan. All right, anybody like Superman as well? All right, some like-minded folks. Good. Talking to some fellow believers. Matter of fact, I have had this obsession since childhood, as long as I can remember. I have a picture in my office. We're going to show it to you on the screen. We're going ghetto style here. This is me. As far as I know, I have an identical twin. It could be him. this is me as a kid. Hey, there I am right there. Hi, everybody. Oh, it's got my name on it. Thanks, Mom. that's me as a kid, 4 or 5 years old, with the Superman shirt, with the football, I wanted to be Superman as a kid. How many of you grew up and you wanted to be a superhero? That was your ambition in life. When I grew up, I don't want to be an astronaut. I don't want to be a doctor or a lawyer. I want to be Superman. Well, that dream has now become a reality. It seems like the world really kind of shares my obsession with superheroes. There's been a trend in the last, decade or so where there's been a lot of superhero movies being done, right? Remember like the Spider-Man movies, the Incredible Hulk was so good they did it twice. Actually, they failed miserably on the first one, so they had to redo it. Anybody seen the first Hulk movie? What a waste of time. They redid it, and it was much better. And they put, one of them was called The Incredible Hulk, and one of them was Hulk. I don't remember which one it was, but the first one wasn't so incredible, let's just say that. Then there's been Iron Man. Iron Man 2 just came out on DVD not too long ago. Anybody get a copy of that? All right. Iron Man, I thought the first one was better, but that's all right. And then I was really disappointed with Superman Returns. It was a huge letdown. I'm like, if you're going to come back, let's have some more action when you come back. Not so much the stupid love story. I mean, come on, you caught a plane and that was wonderful. That was a great scene in the movie, but let's have a little more of that, It seems like that's what we're so fascinated with is not just, their story, but the things that they can do. You understand? And here, even recently, there's been a couple of shows on television. One, the ABC has just put out called No Ordinary Family. Anybody seen that? Heard of that? If you haven't, go on Hulu, hulu.com, type it in the search engine, No Ordinary Family. Watch the pilot episode. Incredible. It's amazing what they can do with special effects and everything. But it seems like, this family falls into a rainforest. They have this plane crash and they, get doused with this flower power or something. I don't know what it is. They haven't even discovered, I don't think, what was the reason for their power, but this some kind of extract from a flower or something was in the river. But anyway, they come back and they have these incredible abilities. The father in the family, he's like super strong, and he gets shot and nothing happens. The bullet, he just like bounces off of him, right? And then he can jump really high. Leap tall buildings in a single bound. And then you got the woman who is like, she's incredibly fast, can run like 800 miles per hour. And then, I don't know what kind of ability the son, he can do math. Woo! All right. He's a genius. All right. He's a genius. The daughter, she's kind of psychic and hear what people are thinking and stuff. But it's really a really cool show. I'm hooked already. And then there is a kind of a true-to-life show on the History Channel. Anybody seen it called Superhumans? The premise for my message today, kind of draw from that. Stanley has commissioned this guy, we'll call him Mr. Flexible, because he can like fold himself up into a tiny box. Amazing ability. And he's commissioned this gentleman to go around the world and discover these people who have these incredible abilities. For instance, there's the one guy, they call him Quick Draw. He's out in the Wild West, so to speak, and he can draw his gun and shoot it with such accuracy, and before you even blink, he's hit his target. And it's incredible. They'll go into all the scientific things, and then there's a guy who can withstand intense amounts of cold weather. There's a guy who's blind that can paint, you know, incredible masterpieces. All of these different abilities that people have. And so we seem to be, as the world, fascinated with superhuman abilities, things that are outside of the ordinary, outside of the norm. And I think we can learn a little bit about that in the sense that we, as the body of Christ, should recognize that these aren't just fictional things that are out in the world or that people have made up, but we as believers have been infused with superhuman abilities ourselves. And so my all intents and purposes today, we're going to discover some things about ourselves, and others will remember some things about yourself. Go with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And before we do that, before we look at the scripture, just for fun, if you don't mind, just humor me for a minute. Ask your neighbor, somebody close to you, either on your right or left, ask them what superhuman ability they would like to have and why. You know, ask them that right now. Go ahead and discuss among yourselves. Well, what did you discover about some people in here? Do they want to be super strong? Do you want to be super fast? Okay, I'm taking back the message now. Give it back to me. Okay. Like you're even more obsessed than I am. I don't know what's going on with you people. Maybe you want to fly. Anybody who wanted to fly? Who wants the ability to fly? There's some smart folks, save you a ton on airfare. Who wanted to be, you know, super strong? Anybody? Okay, super strength, right? Okay. What was yours, Wesley?
Run fast.
Super speed. Very good, very good. That would help in your cross-country efforts. All right, you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That was just for fun. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. All right. It says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Now, literally in the Greek, that phrase new creation means a species of being that never before existed. You like that? A species of being that never before existed. That's incredible. This is what happens when you and I call upon the name of Jesus, we accept him as our Savior, we are born again, we become a new species of being that never before existed. And along with us becoming this new species of being comes these incredible abilities and superpowers. And here's the deal. Every superhero has a secret identity, right? Right? Most of them, hopefully, they have a secret identity. Well, here, what is your secret identity? Okay, and we'll put secret in air quotes. Okay, here's your secret identity. The reality is that if you've made Christ your Lord, then he lives on the inside of you. Jesus Christ is the one pumping the power through your veins. Now, before you accept him as your Savior, you're just ordinary Clark Kent, okay? Just a regular Joe, right? Ordinary Peter Parker. And you got your nature from Adam, the first man, but when Jesus comes to live on the inside of you, you're changed from being the in Adam man to be the in Christ man. So that's your secret identity. The secret is that when Christ died on the cross, your old identity, the Adam man, died there too. The only you that lives is the in Christ you. You're found in Christ, and Christ is found in you. I love what the Distilled Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I consider myself as having died, and now I'm enjoying a new existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. Now, here's the deal about the whole secret identity thing. I kind of harped on this first service. The secret identity is, you know, they have compartmentalized their lives, okay, with the identity. So he's Clark Kent of the Daily Planet, but when there's a need, he's Superman, okay? There is Peter Parker at he's freelance photography, okay? And then he's Spider-Man when there's a need that arises, right? But here's what doesn't need to happen in the life of a believer. We can't just go on thinking that we're regular Joe during the middle of the week, and then on Sunday morning we get in here and we're superhuman. You understand? It's not a secret identity in so much that we need to keep it a secret from people. It's our true identity. Because think about this. Is he Peter Parker or Spider-Man? Peter Parker is Spider-Man. That's the way to say it, right? Is he Clark Kent or is he Superman? Clark Kent is Superman. He's really Superman. That's really who he is, right? Is he Tony Stark or is he Iron Man? He even admitted at the end of the first movie that he was Iron Man, right? He is. They're one in the same. They're one in the same. So it's not meant to be a secret. It's meant to be your true identity that you discover about yourself. Now, every superhero had to discover their newfound abilities and harness them and learn how to use them. You remember in the first Spider-Man movie, Peter Parker, he's at the place with the animals and the spider, and he's, you know, Mary Jane and all that stuff. And then the spider bites him. Well, he wakes up the next morning, and all of a sudden, he's got muscles. Muscles that weren't there before. And you remember the scene where he looks in the mirror and he's like, whoa, double take. You know, what are these? They're abs. And then he's like shooting the web around his room. He's like, what's happening to me? You know, this process of discovery. And then somebody pointed out to me after the first service, he wore glasses before, but now he had a clear vision. He could see. And you see the analogy to our lives as believers. We have these incredible abilities. One of the things that happens when you become a believer is your vision is cleared up. Whereas at one point you're trying to read the Bible and nothing makes sense. But then Christ comes on to live on the inside of you, and all of a sudden the Word comes alive. And you see it clearly. I love that. But there's this process of discovery. Even Superman has this process of discovery. Anybody seen Smallville? It's like season 10 and he still hasn't flown. I mean, come on. Some of you who have watched it in the past have given up on it for that very reason. He's not flying. What the heck is this? So maybe they're going to save it for the finale, you know, and they're like, okay, great. Now he can fly. But there's just been this process of discovery even through the seasons of Smallville, which is, you know, basically Clark Kent's life before Metropolis and all this stuff. And so I remember the one episode where he starts hearing things in the distance and hearing all kinds of things. And he didn't know that he had this ability to this sonic, supersonic hearing. He didn't know that. So he had to discover that about himself. And then his father actually helped him to train it, to block out all of the other voices so he can hear specific voices and tune in there. So there's been this whole process of discovery. And so for many believers, what happens is the moment you're born again, there's this instant infusion of power, okay? It's deposited in your spirit. You already have it, okay? The moment you're born again. But for many believers, they haven't discovered those abilities. Perhaps because they haven't had a mentor or a coach to explain those abilities to them. And then there are other believers who know that they have those abilities, but for whatever reason, they're not using them. Let's just briefly talk a little bit about what are some of these abilities that we have. Well, Jesus is the one providing the power, right? We've already established that. Well, wouldn't it be true that if he is providing the power, then wouldn't you have the same power that he did? Amen. Just logically speaking here. Now, go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Let's flip back a couple chapters from 2 Corinthians there. Romans 8:11 says this, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you." We have the very power that raised Christ from the dead on the inside of us as believers. Resurrection power inside each and every believer. All right? John 14:12. Put it up on the screen there, guys. We'll just read it. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Who's talking here? Jesus. He says, anyone who believes in me, any believers in here today, if you believe in me, he says, you can do the same things that I did. Not only can you do the same things that he did, but you should do the same things that he did. You are, in essence, Jesus to your world. You are. So wouldn't it make sense that if you are Jesus to your world, that you wouldn't be just telling people about Jesus who did these wonderful things, but you would be doing the very things that he did to demonstrate his love and his power and his grace and his wonderful, amazing abilities to people. You would be Jesus to your world. Jesus had this power. It was evident in his ministry. He went about, Acts 10:38 talks about doing good. He was preaching the gospel, healing all who were under the power of the devil, for God was with him. Everywhere he went, he was healing people. Everywhere you go, you can do the same. You have, one of your abilities is the power to heal. We're not talking about the power of Wolverine. We're talking about the power of Jesus, the power that's in you as a believer. Mark 16:17-18. And these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will be healed. As a believer, we're not talking about... Now, here's one theme in the body of Christ, those who believe in these things. There's this one theme that needs to be eradicated, that the only superhuman is the fivefold ministry, the prophet, the pastor, the apostle, evangelist, teacher. Those are the only ones with the superhuman abilities. We come to them for all of our needs. If we need healing, we come to them and they'll, you know, pray first for healing. If we need a word from the Lord, we come to them and they'll give us the word. This idea, this model needs to be eradicated from the church. Because it doesn't say that only those who are in fivefold ministry will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. What does it say? Believers. It doesn't say only those who are in fivefold ministry and are called to full-time ministry can do what Jesus did. No, it says anyone who has faith in me can do what I did. Why is it that we've gotten so far away from Jesus' original intent here? Well, I believe that this is one of the reasons. There was a Smallville episode, I don't know, back around season 7 or 8. Now, I'm a diehard Smallville freak. I've got all of the seasons on DVD. And so if you missed an episode, come see me. I'll loan you out a copy. I've done that. Hey, there's my man. I think you still have one of my discs, dude. there was one episode, I don't know, around season 7 or 8 or so, where something happened to Clark, and he forgot about all of his abilities. He had this, you know, maybe it was black kryptonite, Grayson pointed out to me before, he was infected with, and it erased all of his memory about who he was. So because he didn't know that he had supersonic hearing, super strength, laser vision, super speed, because he didn't know he had these abilities, he ceased to do what he was created to do. You understand? He forgot. And I believe the body of Christ as a whole, I'm not talking about this church, but as a whole, the body of Christ has spiritual amnesia. We have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten whose we are. We've forgotten what we can do, and we've forgotten these abilities that have been infused in our lives. What's happened from the book of Acts to the 21st century? You know? You see the disciples, they're out doing these things. They're out healing the guy at the gate called Beautiful. Peter's shadow is falling upon people and they're getting healed. Talk about superpowers. These are amazing things. He is the shadow. Like that. Falls on you and you're instantly healed. This is amazing. But what's happened between Acts 28 and century 21? What has happened? Now, there have been periods of time and pockets of people throughout history who have not gotten away from these things. You know, there was Azusa Street in the 1906, and we've certainly told their stories, amazing things, through the hands of teenagers and young people. There's the charismatic movement, the healing movement, the word of faith movement, all these different movements. And I hate this terminology so much that people call this a move of God. Okay? Now follow me here. I get the essence that God is doing some things through people and this and that. But we act like God has to come back to the earth and do these things for us rather than through us. My understanding, God's already made his move. 2,000 years ago when he stretched forth his hands on a cruel cross and he hung his head and he said, "It is finished," said to me, "It's your move now." So let's take away the terminology, "Oh, we're waiting for a move of God." No, he's waiting for us to move. And so you want true revival? Let's awaken to the fact of who we are. And stop forgetting where we've come from. Hebrews 11 talks, you know, it's talking about the you know, faith giants, you know. The hall of fame of faith. You know, all these people. These are our ancestors. The things that they did were phenomenal. And it wasn't just for back then. This is what's happened in the church today. And part of the reason for the spiritual amnesia is that we have said that these things are done away with. We have stopped acting like the body of Christ. Now I want to get to this idea that what can we do? What can we do to shock our memory? What can we do to shake things up? What can we do to wake up to the fact of who we are? What can we do to remember what God's done for us? And who he is through us and in us. Go to James chapter 1. I believe James understood some things about spiritual amnesia. And part of the reason he wrote this. James chapter 1 verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Looks at himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Sounds like spiritual amnesia to me. But get this. Here's the remedy. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. What's the answer? How do we wake up? Stay in the Word. We have to stay in the Word. Check out Romans chapter 12. Says, we look into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word. We continue in it, we don't forget it, but we do it. We look at it, we continue in it, we don't forget, we do. Romans 12, 2. In NIV it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is but that the people of God would do the works of God. He talks about in 1 Timothy, let me find this, 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. What's pleasing to God? People getting saved, people getting healed, people getting delivered, people getting their lives changed and transformed by the people of God doing the work of God. But how do we get there? Look at Romans 12, 2 in the Message. We'll put it on the screen for you. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Listen to this. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. There's two keys there. Recognize and respond. That's what happened in those periods of time, those pockets of time where people got back to the book of Acts. They recognized what God wanted them to do and they quickly responded to it. It wasn't a move of God. It was people responding to the move that he already made. Yet we're sitting back as believers, twiddling our thumbs, waiting, well, when is God going to do this? When is God going to do that? Oh, there's a move off in the future. Hey, let's strap on our roller skates and move with them. Let's make our move. Let's not wait as if God hadn't done anything. Recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Renew. What does that word renew mean? It means to renovate. It means to take something that is there and change it. When I think of renewing and renovating, I think of Extreme Makeover, Home Edition. You guys seen that show with Ty Pennington and his crew? And a lot of times they'll take the house that they want to renovate down to just the studs and add on to it. And many times they'll just completely bulldoze it, knock it down and rebuild fresh from the start. This is what needs to happen to our minds. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we learn that we are three-part beings. We are a spirit, we have a soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body. Now, when you are born again, when you're transformed into a believer, when you call upon the name of Jesus, your spirit is made new in an instant. You're instantly infused with this ability and power, just as if you were bitten by a radioactive spider and had all these newfound abilities that you need to discover. And instantly this happens. Now your soul, however, your mind needs to be renewed daily to that fact. Conforming, it talks about, it just deals with the outside, changing your hairstyle, changing your clothes, changing your drink of choice. Transforming has to do with the inside, bringing the new nature from the inside out, recognizing these new creation realities that we are a new species of being that never before existed. What is the reality of that? Bringing those from the inside out, a transformation. Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. E.W. Kenyon said this, "The process of mind renewal does not even begin until you understand your identification with Christ in his death and resurrection." Now, I'll repeat that because some of you need to write it down in your notebook. Write it down in the margin of your Bible. Did you realize you can write in your Bible? Write it down. Write this quote down because this is going to revolutionize the way you think about renewing your mind. The process of mind renewal does not even begin until you understand your identification with Christ in his death and resurrection. E.W. Kenyon is talking about how do we know who we are? How do we renew our minds? We renew our minds by beginning to think about what God's done in us and knowing our true identity. Just like the superhero needs to recognize his abilities, discover those things about himself, this is what we need to do. Paul is saying in Ephesians there, and then back in Romans 12, we not only have to reprogram our minds with new information, but we have to allow these new truths to change our attitudes, our outlooks, our feeling, our sentiment, our disposition. Our perspectives have to change. Many people have heard biblical truths and can recall them, but often we don't dwell on them to the degree that it changes us from the inside out. You know, we've puffed ourselves up with biblical knowledge and information. We're spiritually obese to this end. However, we haven't allowed it to change us, our outlooks, our attitudes, our mindset. What good does it do you to know that Methuselah was the oldest person in the Bible? I mean, that's great. Yeah, you'll be great if you go on Jeopardy and there's a Bible section. You make a lot of money. But how does that help you in your everyday life? You're great at biblical trivia. Woohoo! But unless you allow it to change you from the inside out, it's not any good. All right, go ahead and bring it in there, Rick. Got a little object lesson for you here. Think about this. You know, just to kind of a for instance, if you know it's God's will for you to prosper financially, okay? But if you don't seeing yourself with your needs met, if you don't start seeing yourself as a faithful giver, if you don't start seeing yourself and allowing your attitudes and your mindset to change, then you'll stay poor. A poverty attitude, a poverty mentality will cause you to stay poor, even though you know God wants you to prosper. You have to allow it to change you from the inside out. So it's not good enough to just learn facts from God's word and store these facts so we can recall them. We have to meditate on these truths until it changes us. Now, I'm going to do a little illustration here. Talking about renewing your mind, what it really means, okay? I have this cup here. This symbolizes your mind. And some of you would ask, why is it so small? I can't answer that question. Oh, okay. This is the male mind. This is the female mind. No. Women are my friends now. All right. A picture with me, if you will. This is your mind. Another question you might ask, why is it so clear? Empty, almost. This is your mind. Just go with me with this for a second. This is your mind. Now, when you're born again, your spirit's transformed from the moment you say amen, from the moment you call upon the name of Jesus. But your mind needs to be renewed to new creation realities, okay? Your identification with Christ, as our friend Essek W. Kenyon said. Now, what happens here, we're going to add a few things. All right, here we go. This right here. This is relishion. Okay, somebody gets that. Religion. Relish. Okay. First service was doing a lot better getting my jokes than you guys are, man. I don't see how they were more awake than y'all. I don't know. Religion. Religion gets in there. Right, you're more concerned about laws and keeping rules than you are about relationship. It's a little cloudy, right? A little unclear. All right, there's religion. You begin to dwell on the fact that you think, or somebody's told you, that miracles have passed away, and the Book of Acts is just for that period of time. Okay, what else we got? Had enough relition in our lives. We got some red hot. This is your temper, people. You had a discussion with your spouse on the way over here to church this morning. A discussion, at least that's what you tell the kids. Really knock down, drag out. Raise your voice a little bit. Anybody been there? I found this, that some of these things are easier to get rid of than others. What if somebody said, well, why don't these things just fall off of us the instant that we're born again? They don't understand the three-part mentality, right? Of our spirits transformed, but our mind needs to be renewed. I mean, I certainly haven't written the book on how to get rid of all these things. I just had an argument with my wife a couple of days ago. Oh, excuse me, a discussion. All right, here we go. What's Parmesan cheese? Here we go. Anybody ever smelt the funk that is contained in here? We call it foot cheese at our house. Give me some of that foot cheese. Ugh. I'll just pass this around here. There you go, Martha. There you go. There you go, sir. Just get a whiff of that. Just wish you had smell-o-vision. We could waft it through here. This is what happens when you wake up in a funky mood. Right? And your spouse may point this out to you. Your siblings may point this out to you. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and you are funky today. Okay, look at our mind now, how polluted it has gotten, everybody. And we're not even halfway done here. All right, okay, here's a good one. Lustered. What are you thinking about when it comes to the opposite sex, or nowadays, even the same sex? What are you looking at on the internet? What are you seeing in commercials? I mean, you don't even have to go, XXX. You just turn on your TV. And the images are provocative, and the enemy's trying to get in there. Yeah. Some lustered. All right, look at that. That's disgusting. Remember, this is your mind. Okay. All right, what else we got? Oh, here we go. This one's good. This one's good. Beanie weenie, teeny meanie. This is you're just gossiping, you're backbiting, you're grumbling, complaining, you're getting angry at the sales clerk because she didn't ring up your order right, didn't give you the discount that you gave her the coupon for, and so you just blast her with both barrels. Ugh. Look at that. All right. What else? Oh, this is good here. This right here, sprinkles. This is your giving. We're not committed to be faithful givers. I got some loose change, so I'll toss that. I'll sprinkle that in the offering basket as if it were a Sunday coming your way. This is my favorite here. Miracle wimp. Miracle wimp. This all has to do with timidity and intimidation. This is you backing down from an opportunity to preach the gospel with signs and wonders following. For you to lay hands on the sick, you back down because you're afraid of what will people think. You cower away from the thought that God could even use you to minister to somebody else. You shrink back from an opportunity to encourage somebody, build them up in their faith. Yummy. Miracle wimp. All right. This is flat out disgusting. How did you let your mind get so filthy? How did you let your mind get so polluted? Anybody thirsty? Anybody want a drink? Some of our teenagers will do anything for attention. I didn't even offer you money this time. You're like, yeah. No candy. Just fame and fortune. How do we get rid of this? You could dump it out, but there probably would still be some remnants remaining. Here is the way to biblically renew your mind. The Bible talks about in Ephesians 5:26 that Christ cleansed the church through the washing of the water of the word. And so we're talking about in James chapter 1, the remedy here, verse 25, of looking into the perfect law of liberty, continuing in it, not forgetting it, and then doing it. So We'll do this. We'll pour some word in. And so what happens as you pour the word in, all of the impurities, the imperfections, the poor thoughts, the religion, the anger, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, they'll kind of bubble over the top. Now, one thing I could do, it's starting to get a little clearer, right? There's still a few fragments of relition in there. And some meanies. The meanie weenies are stubborn, you guys. They are. But it's getting a little clearer. So, you know, if we just stopped one time, we're going to pour the word in, and we think, okay, we come to Sunday morning service, we think, okay, everything's perfect. Does it look like everything's perfect? That's why it talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing in it, right? All right, that's why I brought a lot of word out here. Some of your minds are even more disgusting than this. All right, weenies, get out of there. You little. Look at that. That's the only thing that remains. It's sad. It's like a reflection of my life, probably. Okay. No kidding. Be a little transparent here. Only my mind. That's right. Get out of there. Sometimes you have to lean it over a little bit. I'm going to cheat on that one. Okay, I'll cheat. Just for sake of time, you know, I could continue with that all day. But check it out. Now, let's just see. Not bad. It's like it's all gone, you know? And yeah, we know what was in there, you know? You saw how disgusting it was. Look at it now. Look at how renewing our mind with the word can affect our attitudes and our mindset. Before, only a few crazy teenagers would take a sip of this. And now I have ventured into sipping it myself. Nobody else would probably do that. I'm not going to ask for volunteers. Let me clean up here. That's disgusting. But you see, what needs to happen is we need to reprogram our minds with the word, with remembering who we are. You can take that away. Remembering who we are and who God's created us to be, what he's created us to do. Don't spill that on anybody's shoes. But what happens when you pour the word in your heart, and you pour the word in your mind, and you allow those things, you meditate on the realities, the new creation realities, the fact that you are identifying with Christ and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I think about baptism, you know? Think about the imagery there with the water. But you pour the word in, so much so that the impurities, the imperfections, everything, every thought, attitude, mindset, outlook, this comes bubbling over the top until that's all that's in you is God's mindset, God's outlook, God's perspective. And suddenly we're back to the book of Acts. Amen. Suddenly we're not the miracle wimp anymore, but we're the one who brings the miracle power with us. And that's what we're filled with. Some of you would say, well, how do I get these powers? For some of you, you know you've had these powers. You've let some religion creep in, you've let some miracle wimp get in there, and you've backed down from opportunities to activate and be a doer of the word. For others of you, you haven't even recognized that you have these powers. Well, hopefully this message stirred some things on the inside of you. And then there are still others of you who you have no idea about these powers, how to get them. What do you do? I'll answer this question, then we'll close. What do you do to get these superpowers I've been talking about? Do you have to be from planet Krypton? Do you have to be bitten by a radioactive spider? Do you have to fall into a nuclear vat of goo or have your science project go haywire? No, you don't have to do any of these things. I'll outline two steps for you. The first one is receive the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So receive the gospel, as simple as Romans 10:13, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Instant transformation, your spirit's changed from the inside out, infused with this wonderful ability. Two, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And then Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is the power source. He was the power source for the ministry of Jesus. He's a power source for us today.